kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like us, if we would, to turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at chapter 6 and verses 28 and 29 of John, chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, and the title of our teaching today is The Works of God. The Works of God. John 6, 28, 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." I've read a few extra verses there because I really wanted us to lead into this. Now, Jesus is referring himself to the true bread, that true manna. And this is what he's talking about. And if we go back a few verses, for example, from verse 26, so that we can lead into this, we can begin to understand why it is we're calling this teaching today the works of God. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labour for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him." Jesus knew many were following him for the wrong reasons. He had huge crowds. He was aware of this. He had mercy and compassion on these crowds. We looked at that, didn't we? I think on Sunday, where he was moved with compassion. They were scattered without having a shepherd to guide them and lead them. He was very aware that people were following him, many to get their bellies filled, what they could get out of it. Because yes, there was suffering. Yes, there was starvation. There were all the usual human needs. Nothing has changed. It's still the same today. But Jesus, because he was aware of this, he realized that there were the works of God to be done, to be accomplished. And he was trying to show here that there is a manna that you can eat of that is eternal, will give you eternal life. And he was trying to compare the two. He was trying to show that, yes, they had need of their bellies being filled, but he was showing that there's something greater and better that you can put your affection, your attention to. This food will give you eternal life. And we very often are challenged with that principle in our lives. Sometimes God withholds blessings in our lives because our motives are wrong. We haven't the right motives. The motives are not clean and righteous before God. And I'm going to look at this word righteousness in a minute. You see, we're all learning, aren't we, that we walk with a very righteous and holy God. And he looks at every motive, every thought. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows us better than we ourselves. And if our faith is to work for the glory of God, for the works of God, then it has to be a faith that is motivated by love, by God's word, by the Holy Spirit, by holiness. In other words, we have a holy faith. And looking here, what we've just read, this, that Jesus is referring to himself as that bread sent from heaven. And it's a sign you are his own if you partake of this bread. Because he says in verses 35 to 40, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and none that come to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So here we are seeing the works of Almighty God. All that the Father has given, he will raise up. This is why we say so often, you have to be called from eternity. And it's important to understand this, that we're called from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the works of God. Now, our works come from believing. And we make much about this, that you have to be on believing ground. And we've been making much about this, haven't we, over the last few weeks. We've been sharing with you how that it's important that we reap a harvest. It's important that we know God's will, not knowing it in the head, but in the heart. So our works come from believing. You see, our works, our faith, our believing in the promises of God's word and the manifestation of these promises are God's works. They are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he sends his word forth and it does not return unto him void, but accomplishes that wherewith we believe. So God knows when we're in faith and when we're not in faith. And when we are in faith and we receive the manifestation of that we are believing for, they are the works. They are the greater works also that is spoken of in John 14. And these are the works that Jesus has been given and that the works that he accomplishes, that he is accomplishing through his church. This is how sovereign God is. Everything is decreed before the foundation of the world. Not only your salvation, but every prayer that you pray in faith, believing, your healing, your deliverance, your salvation, everything is decreed before the foundation of the world. God knows. This is why, brothers and sisters, we can't lose in this. If we are walking with God, led by the Holy Spirit, this is God's will. It is God's will that I believe in his promises, in his word. That is his will. It's what he's decreed. These are the works of Almighty God. And works can only be done when we know God's will and we believe it. This is why God is exposing areas in our lives where we don't yet still know the word of God. And this is why we have to be found in God's word. We have to study this word, be in the word, as well as prayer. Because this enables you to know the will of God in order to be able to act your faith, to step out in faith. Otherwise, you can't, because you're stepping out on something you're not sure about. Let's, for example, take the healing question. Well, I'm going to step out and act my faith for healing, and it doesn't happen. And do you know why it doesn't happen? Because you don't believe, you don't know the will of God. You don't know really what the word is saying. If you knew in your heart what the word of God is saying, you can stand on that by faith. And they are the works of God being accomplished in and through you, for his glory. We're told, aren't we, that Abraham was accounted for righteousness. Let's just turn to this quickly. In Genesis 15 and verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So he believed in Almighty God. Now, he didn't have the revelation of 66 books carrying around under his arm like you and I have. So how much more? But he believed there was God. He knew God existed. God was revealing himself to him, and what he knew and the revelation he had, he believed, he acted upon it. And God said that was accounted for righteousness. In other words, God's righteousness was imputed to Abraham. They are part of the works of God. Now, only God can impute his righteousness, his right standard. Man has a standard. Man has a righteousness, but it's on a moral and ethical basis. But God's righteous standard is infinitely higher than man. And the only one that could fulfill the demands of that righteous law was, of course, Jesus Christ himself. And that is why we have to be found in him. And that is why everything that is in him is imputed to us. Even his faith, believing, is imputed to us. But we have a will, and God doesn't force it on us. But we choose to believe that everything was in Christ is in us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so when I am in a trial, or I know this faith to stand upon the word or whatever it is, that the first thing I always start with is, it is his faith imputed to me. I couldn't even believe otherwise. So how can I go wrong that he has imputed that to me, a righteous faith? That's where you have to start from. If it's your faith, if it's you trying to believe, you've lost it, because that is works and God will not accept it. It comes from him, and we get it as we hear and we read the word of God. This is how faith comes. This is how these promises come. And this is the only way that works can be achieved in our life, because we are to produce works, but they are works of righteousness. They are the works of the Holy Spirit. That is why I love the book of Acts, because it is the works of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in control, doing what he was doing there in the book of Acts. And that's what we're being restored to, and also in FGA. It's unbelief that constitutes to unrighteousness. And this is why it's wickedness before God. How do we know? Well, the first story of Cain and Abel. You know that story very well. Cain's offering wasn't accepted, but Abel's was. Why? Because he offered it in faith. And when we are not in faith, it is wickedness before God. And this is why I'm saying you have to confess it as sin and get it under the blood of Jesus. Don't mess about with this, because it hinders God's divine program of all he has promised to do to those who believe. When you do not deal with unbelief, when your works are not righteous before God, you are hindering the works of God to be achieved and done in your life and my life. This is why I take this very seriously. If you notice, the Holy Spirit's taking us on another level with regard to faith. If you're really listening, you will hear he's taking us, moving us to the next level of faith, our faith walk. And he's expecting to see those works of faith through FGA. This is why he sends the Holy Spirit to convict. This is why God so often is saving us from our unbelief. That's what he's doing most of the time. This is why sometimes he has to chasten us. This is why sometimes he has to allow us to go through trials, because he's saving you from your unbelief. You're not believing. You don't know yet the will of God. Now, of course, we know that we go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God. But I can tell you a lot of that is with regard to removing unbelief, hardness of heart, stubbornness. That's what it's about. Because the Holy Spirit's come to guide us into all truth. Otherwise, it isn't a righteous faith. There's no lie, there's no blemish to be found in God. And therefore, that's why his righteousness is imputed to us. And that righteousness is in truth. And that is why our faith is pure. It is truth. And we can trust 101% on that. You see, we've got to remember the law of the Spirit of life, which heals our souls and bodies, is much stronger than the law of sin and death. I'm going to give you that again. The law of the Spirit of life, which heals our souls and bodies, is much stronger than the law of sin and death. Thank God for that. And that is why Jesus triumphed over sin. That is why he made a spectacle of the powers of darkness at the cross, in order that the Spirit of life in Christ may be greater than the law of sin and death. And you have to decide who you want to win. You see, that is where our will comes in. We can have to decide what we want working in our lives. Do I want the law of life or the law of death working in me? That is the question. And if we want the law of life that is found in Jesus Christ, then we yield to it, we obey it, we allow God to work that in and through us. It's when we put up obstacles. It's when we make excuses. Then God can no longer work at that point. But thank God that God's grace is stronger than even sin. And that is why he moves in and through us with grace and love and mercy. So he's not even forgotten that, has he? His grace and mercy is there to get us to believe, to trust in these promises, to deal with that unbelief. You see, you have access into your Father's account. Did you know that? Did you know your Heavenly Father has given you access to his account? And what is his account? There they are, the promises in God's word. That's why he gives us such promises like Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's the believing that gives you access to his account. And we're not always believing, are we? And do you know why? Because so much of our faith is based on our emotions and our feelings and what we see and what we touch. And there is the problem. I know I addressed this many, many times. There are times I don't feel very well. But the word of God says the opposite to my feelings. And I choose to believe that by the stripes of Christ I was healed at Calvary. Yes, I sometimes have to make that deliberate choice. Do I feel like it? No. Do I feel healed? No. I choose what God has said. That is the account. That is what I can draw from his account. It's there, freely given in Jesus Christ. And so we find then, as sojourners in this world, that we hold on and we endure, don't we? Let's remind ourselves again in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 3 verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold fast what you have. Look what God is giving us. Look what he gives us twice a week, this manna, himself, his word to us, and all the promises. And Revelation says, hold on to that, guard it. It is your treasure. It is your blessing. It's what is in the account, God's account. It's what he's giving us. And we have to hold on to that. Why? Because the enemy is out to try and steal that seed. And we have to guard that, brothers and sisters. Because the enemy, we know, he's very cunning. And he'll always try and keep us trapped in the flesh and in the emotions. But praise God, faith always operates above all of that. This is why we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are above all of that. This is why I say we're saints who live in two realms. We're not really in this world anymore. We're on our way away from it. We're going to eternity. That's how our life is, or it should be. And that is how it is if you walk by faith. So don't look away from the promise to look to feelings. Because if you look to feelings, you will be deceived. And that's why many who once walked with us, they don't anymore, because they were still looking to their feelings, their emotions. They were not looking to the promises of God's word. And when you look to the promises of God's word, you are looking to God's account. And he says, you have complete access to my account. And when we are in faith, when we have that mustard seed of faith, then that scepter is presented to us to come boldly into his presence and make your request known, as it says in Hebrews. You see, there is a boldness about faith. There is an assurance about faith. There is a knowing that my faith, my belief in these promises brings me into the very presence of God to make my request known. And that isn't on emotions. That isn't by feelings. It is something that is spiritual, that you get at times. You get a quickening. You know God has heard. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he would say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You see, this is why he had a prayer life. This is why he prayed things through in the Spirit, for the very purpose that he knew his heavenly Father had heard him. This is why when you're in faith, or you're believing for healing, or you're believing for anything, or finances, or whatever it is, there are times you have to just go in prayer in the Spirit. It may have to be birthed through for a season. There are obstacles. The enemy is trying to stop the manifestation. And sometimes it requires warfare or pressing in for the manifestation. But faith will know what to do. And that is why the Holy Spirit comes to lead us, to guide us, to convict us. No two prayers are ever the same. Don't try and follow a blueprint with God because he blessed you that time or he healed you that time. No, 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 don't do it. God does something new every time when you believe, when you confess, and you act upon your faith. That's what makes it supernatural. But we must produce the works of righteousness. The works of God must be produced and birthed in and through each of us, both individually and corporately. Why? Because God has decreed it. Hallelujah. So there we are. What must we do to do the works of God? And what does he say? Believe on those works. Believe on the word of God. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you that you know how to pinpoint. You know how to get to the root of why it is at times our prayers are not answered as they should be, or we are not acting our faith as we should be. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's ministry. He comes to lead and to guide us and to lead us into all truth. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, we desire that the works of Almighty God will be accomplished both individually and corporately through each of us and through this assembly. And we desire this simply because it glorifies your name. It gives you all the glory that this world of unbelief and sin will see that Jesus is alive today.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.